The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I got my wish. The Eagles lost. Monday Night Football, oh my God, that was hilarious. Not only did they lose, but the way they lost was just beautiful. And, you know, I mean, I'm an Eagles hater. I'm a Cowboys fan, so this just helps my Cowboys out, who are only now a game and a half behind the Eagles. Is this collapse on? I don't know. I'm hoping. I mean, they're on a three-game losing streak right now. Things ain't looking too bright. And that game against the Chargers, they looked like el trasho. They did not look good at all, even though it went into overtime. Honestly, though, that's just because the Chargers' offense, holy shit. I mean, this game was all defense. It was defense, defense, and more defense. There was one play where Jalen Hurts throws an interception. The guy who catches the interception is running it back, and he fumbles the ball. Jalen Hurts picks up the fumble, then a defender comes up behind him and forces another fumble, and the Chargers are able to land on it. So we literally had three turnovers in one play. By the way, Jalen Hurts is the first player ever to have two turnovers on one play like that. So congratulations, Jalen Hurts. I hope your butt hurts today. That Jalen butt hurts. That is what his name is after this game, because he had five turnovers total in this one. Justin Herbert, though, he was sacked seven times as well. Not his fault. His offensive line is bad. And you could just tell his hand, he was trying to protect it so bad, especially towards the end of the game. Like, I don't know how long he is going to last like that, but we'll see. They were able to get a ground attack going, and they were able to get the win 22-19 in overtime. And the best turnover actually happened in overtime. I mean, the Eagles are driving. They're looking like, oh, they already were in field goal range. They're in the red zone. It's looking like, oh, we gonna score seven. And even me, I'm sitting here like, motherfuckers. They're already in field goal range, but this team, they're going for the seven. They are going for the touchdown. They're going for the gut punch. They're going for the win. And boom, they got the gut punch. Jalen Hurts throws a beautiful interception right to the Chargers, ends the game, and the Chargers walk it off, and the Eagles are on a three-game losing streak, and I am here for it. Now, we'll see what happens. They play Vegas this coming week, so I'm not really expecting any miracles. But with the way this Eagles team is playing, they do not look good on offense at all. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he had five turnovers, and the interceptions he was throwing, they were like right-to-the-defender interceptions, not like blown coverage interceptions or it bounced off a dude's hands interceptions. Like, he's looking at the defender and throws it to him. I mean, that's what happened in that overtime interception for sure. He's looking at dude and he just throws it to him like he was wearing an Eagles uniform. Now, I will say A.J. Brown dropped an obvious touchdown that he would have had, but it went right through his hands. Saquon Barkley, he actually went over 100 yards in this game. This is only the second time this season he's gone over 100 yards, but the Eagles lost and the Chargers won, but the Chargers barely wanted to win that one, that's for sure. But they got the win, 22-19. So let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings this week. Not a lot of changes because we're headed towards the end of the season and just, you know, not a lot is going on. So let's get right into it. Number one remains the Los Angeles Rams at 10-3. 49 total touchdowns on the season. That leads the league. They are the top offense in the league. Matthew Stafford continues his MVP run. 3,354 yards, 35 touchdowns, which leads the league, and only four interceptions. So just really stacking the deck with everything that they do on the offensive side of the ball. Defense is just getting stronger and stronger every game. And to me, it's just like, at this point, it feels like the Rams are the most consistent team, but we'll see what happens. We've got a month left of football, and, you know, this season has been so fucking weird that I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams don't win their division when it's all said and done. Then at number 2 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Denver Broncos. Overall record of 11-2, and they are in a 10-game winning streak. They have 55 total sacks on the season, and that leads the league, and that is why they are 11-2. This defense is killer. They keep it keeps their offense in it. It sets their offense up in good field position, and hell, sometimes they even score. This defense ain't nothing to fuck with. Nobody wants to go up against this defense, and the offense is just doing enough. They're not a lights out offense. Let's be real. They are not going to blow you up, but they can get the job done. They are not scared, and this defense, they will take it there. That's for sure. Then at number 3 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the New England Patriots. Overall record of 11-2. And I mean, they're just coming off of a bye week, so there really isn't much to say about them except they just keep on winning. 10-game winning streak. We'll see what happens this last month of football. But they're just playing really, really solid football on the offensive side of the ball, the defensive side of the ball. Not really killing anybody, but they're getting their job done. So we'll see what happens come playoff time. I'm not really convinced they're a Super Bowl bound team, but hell, who knows? With the way this season's gone, so much parity's gone on, who knows what we're going to see with this team, but they're definitely on a heater right now with a 10-game winning streak. Then at number 4, my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers. Overall record of 9-3-1. Jordan Love is just killing it this year. 3,028 yards, 22 touchdowns, and only 4 interceptions. And he really doesn't have a standout. Watson right now is standing out, but when you look at this receiving core, it's just not a number 1 receiving core, and he is just ripping up all defenses. So he's just really having a solid year, but his defense, that Green Bay Packers defense, they are also ain't nothing to fuck with. They are really getting hot. Micah Parsons has been on a heater this last month and a half, so he's really starting to heat up. Perfect time since the playoffs are right around the corner, and they definitely need to keep stacking the wins because Chicago is good. And Detroit, even though Detroit's not playing like they used to, you can't count Detroit out because they're still right there. But Green Bay right now, I'd say, is the top team in the NFC North, but that could all change in the next 4 weeks. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 9-4. And this week, they played some consistent football, but it's just, you never know what you're going to get from this team. Josh Allen playing excellent football. And at the running back position, they're getting some great, it's just great from both Cooks, from both James Cook and Josh Allen. Everything's great with those two. But the receivers, it's like, are they going to drop passes today or are they going to catch passes today? That's the question. Because defensively, they're excellent too. They cause turnovers, they get at the quarterback, and the defense definitely keeps them in games as well. It's just that receiving core. You want to believe in the Bills because they have such a load of talent, but then that receiving core goes out there, and I just won't be shocked if that receiving core lets them down in one of these really big games towards the end of the season. But right now, they got the win, so they're in, and they're at number 5. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Chicago Bears, overall record of 9-4. And it's just with this team, even in the loss, they just suffered their first loss in like, 8 games this past week. Against the Packers, too. They didn't get their ass beat or anything, but I still see growth each and every week with this team. Like I said, love watching Caleb Williams. This guy, just the precision, the beauty, the way he throws the ball is just beautiful. Just fucking love it. I'm going to love it if he ever gets, like, a legit receiver, too, because holy shit. You get that dude a legit receiver, I kind of feel like, imagine if Caleb Williams had like a Ja'Marr Chase or a CeeDee Lamb. Just imagine what kind of an offense this Chicago Bears team would be in. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you get him a receiver. Oh, I don't know, man. That they will be a top offense hands down because I see growth every single week with Caleb Williams. I see growth every single week with this defense. They lead the league in interceptions, at 18 interceptions. They're causing fumbles. They're getting at the quarterback. And they're just in it every single game so far. They just look like a really, really solid team. And I see growth every single week. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Seattle Seahawks, overall record of 10-3, and this defense, talk about nothing to fuck with. This is another defense you do not want coming at you. 41 sacks on the season, 7 forced fumbles, and 15 interceptions. And they score touchdowns, too. That's just another thing that they do. I mean, real talk, this Seahawks offense, they're capable of scoring a lot of points, But man, this defense is capable of scoring a lot of points, and that's why they're in it. And like I said, the Rams are number one in their division right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Seahawks take it over just because this defense keeps them in it every single week. And the offense, they have their bad moments, but they also have their really, really good moments. So you just got to watch out for the Seahawks team. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 9-4, and I feel like this team is about to win their division. They just got a big win over the Colts, and yes, they knocked out Daniel Jones, but even so, they really were locking it down against Jonathan Taylor, and Jonathan Taylor is having the best year. As far as running backs go, he's having the best year, hands fucking down. And to be able to lock down Jonathan Taylor, it says a lot, and that's what they did last week. And their defense has been consistent all year. It's been their offense that's been the problem. And real talk, their offense is starting to show up, really starting to actually show some consistency. And they did it against a really solid Colts team last week. And I just kind of look at the rest of their division. I don't really believe in the Texans simply because of their offense. Their defense is really damn good, but their offense is terrible. So, and then you got the Colts. They just signed Phillip Rivers to their practice squad. So I don't think the Colts have a shot at anything. And then the Titans, they ain't going nowhere. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure the Titans are not even in contention. So to me, I feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars have this division on lock. But with that being said, we still have a month of football and everything has changed every single week. So hell, who knows? Maybe we'll be talking about the Texans next week. But right now, I'm looking at the Jaguars to keep it moving, especially with this consistent defense of theirs. Their offense is growing every week, and I just kind of feel like they are ready to win this division. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 9-4, and they are just really, really shaky on offense. Defensively, really damn good, but that offensive line, I feel bad for Justin Herbert, because Justin Herbert's a damn good quarterback. I mean, the way that dude delivers a ball, when you talk about, when you hear the phrase, he threw the ball on a rope, Justin Herbert is who you're talking about. When you watch him throw a ball, it's like the most perfect, precise thrown ball. But when he's running around and has zero fucking time, he can't really throw to anybody. And now that he's got this injury, he really needs to be protected by that offensive line. And seven sacks in the last game against a really good Eagles defense. And then this week, they're going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, who have a really good defense. And in Kansas City, the weather's probably going to be cold, so that hand's going to be not feeling that great. So, and real talk, I could see that. He was bracing every single hit. You could see he was really looking out for that hand. And of course he was. He just had surgery on it, and you know it's killing him. Regardless of what it looks like out on the field, you know after that game, his hand was killing him. It's probably been killing him all week. And who knows? Whatever he does right now could debilitate that hand for the rest of his life. And hopefully they win a Super Bowl, but they probably won't. Not with that shaky offensive line. But right now, they're 9-4, and they did beat the Eagles, so you can't overlook that. But there's not a lot of talent on offense other than Herbert, and that offensive line ain't keeping Herbert up. So I got a lot of questions about this Chargers team. But right now, they got that win, and they're in. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, have the Detroit Lions, overall record of 8-5. They have 48 total touchdowns on the season, which is actually second to the Rams. So they are lighting it up. As a matter of fact, those two face off against each other this week, so should be a really good game. And then on the defensive side of the ball, 37 sacks, 14 forced fumbles, and 11 interceptions. So very overall, all-around good Detroit Lions team. It's just, they're getting some weird losses. I don't know what it is with this team. They're just not as consistent as they've been over the past couple of years. But they're still in it. You know, like I just said about the Packers, when I was talking about the Packers and the Bears, they cannot overlook Detroit. Detroit is just as good as those two teams. They have tons of playmakers, and I wouldn't be shocked if all three of those teams make the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I think all three of those teams are going to make the playoffs. Whoever wins the division, obviously making the playoffs. And then I think the other two teams are going to be wild card teams, just because there's so much talent spread around on all three of those teams. can't be overlooked, but it's just with Detroit. They haven't played consistent football. They haven't really got on any type of winning streaks. They've lost weird games. They've won weird games. And they just haven't seen any consistency. But yet, like I said, 48 total touchdowns on the season. So not really having any issues. It's just, secondary injuries. They're getting killed in the secondary once again. But, I mean, so is everybody at this point in the season. Everybody's playing injured. But right now, Detroit's up. And I got them in the drop 10. So let's take a look at the playoff picture, which is just going to change every single week. So this week, this is how it looks. The AFC, number one overall seed, Denver Broncos. Number two overall seed, New England Patriots. Number three, Jacksonville Jaguars. And number four, Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are all the division leaders right now. Of course, Denver has it locked down. Even though the Chargers are kind of right there, I feel like Denver, they won the division. New England still has Buffalo lurking, and they have a big matchup between each other this week, so that's definitely going to play a big role. Jacksonville, like I said, it's not on lock, but I feel like they're going to win it. And then Pittsburgh, I've felt like Pittsburgh's winning this division no matter what, just because Baltimore just hasn't shown any consistency, whereas Pittsburgh, not that great of a team, but they've played much better than Baltimore to me. So I still think Pittsburgh's going to win this division. Then at number five, the number five seed right now, we have the Los Angeles Chargers. Number six seed, the Buffalo Bills. And the number seven seed, the Houston Texans. And on the outside looking in, we have the Indianapolis Colts, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Can you believe that? The Ravens and the Chiefs aren't even in playoff contention right now. Now, like I said, we still have a month, so anything can change. Then turning to the NFC, number one overall seed, the Los Angeles Rams. Number two, the Green Bay Packers. Number three, the Philadelphia Eagles. And number four, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are all the division leaders. Rams have to look out for the Seahawks and the Niners still. The Packers still have to battle it out with the Bears and the Lions. The Eagles, only, like I said, a game and a half lead on my Cowboys, so they're still lurking. And then the Buccaneers have to worry about those Carolina Panthers as well. So none of those divisions are locked down. Then the wild card spots right now, number five seed, the Seattle Seahawks, number six, the San Francisco 49ers, and number seven, the Chicago Bears. On the outside looking in, we have the Detroit Lions, the Carolina Panthers, and the Dallas Cowboys. So like I just said, we have a month left of football, and I feel like every week that I'm talking about these playoffs, all the way up until the last week of the season, that's going to be shifted from 1 to 7. Just because, last week, the Bears were the number one overall seed. Or number two. They were one or two. I can't remember. I think they were number one. Regardless, they were number one, and now they're the number seven seed this week. So that's just kind of how it's looking. And like I said, not one division is locked down. Like I said, there's a couple of teams. I feel like Denver has their division. If I had to pick one team that has their division on lock, it's the Broncos. That's about it, just because the Chargers, they're on shaky ground with me. And the Broncos have just been the most consistent team probably all season. But I mean, other than that, every other division is still up for grabs. The wild card's still up for grabs. And even though the Chiefs are completely, it looks like they're completely out of it. We're all throwing dirt on their grave right now. What if they make the 7 seed? What if they make it? You cannot overlook the Kansas City Chiefs. And so every team that plays them from here on out still should not overlook them. If they make the playoffs, none of us should overlook them still. They look down and out. And I'm pretty sure they're probably not making the playoffs just the way they're playing. But you just don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. Injuries happen. Weird losses. This has been one of the weirdest football seasons of all time. And I am here for it. So let's get right into week 15, and our Thursday night football matchup this week is a division matchup, Atlanta Falcons at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Right now, the Buccaneers are a 5.5-point favorite, and they are coming off of a bad loss to the New Orleans Saints last week. They are getting guys back from injury, so they are starting to get more healthy. The Falcons really don't have much to play for. They are still in the hunt, but do any of us think the Falcons are going to go anywhere? Do any of us think the Falcons are making the playoffs? No. Don't think so. So I feel like this is going to be a good bounce-back game for the Buccaneers. They're coming off of, two, three losses in a row right now. They just don't look as good as they started the season off, mostly because everybody's injured. And now that Baker's injured, you can tell that his injury is also bothering him as well, just like Herbert. But even so, you know, I just kind of feel like Tampa's going to put it together in this game. Atlanta's not a very good team. They have not much to play for. Even so, I've got Tampa Bay kicking their ass 31-17. But, you know, I always say these division matchups are always shaky. Could always be weird. I mean, Tampa lost to New Orleans last week, and that was a division matchup. So always got to watch out for those. But I just think Tampa's going to get back on track this week, put together a solid win, and just keep it moving on Thursday Night Football. So let's move on to the college football playoff. These are the final rankings of the season, and boy, oh boy, did we have some controversy. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to say it right now. These college football playoff rankings literally look like we paid the most money the last week of the season, because, like, there's no way. Okay, so Alabama lost to Georgia in the SEC championship game. That puts Alabama with 3 losses on the season. To me, they should not be in the college football playoff. They shouldn't be anywhere ranked in the college football playoff, yet they're ranked at 9. So that's very, very odd to me. Notre Dame only had 2 losses on the season. They've been ranked for the most part. And this is the team that's had the most, they've been the most pissed off about this whole thing because they didn't make it. And mostly because they're not in a conference. And that kind of feels like what's going on here is they're being punished for not being in the conference. But it's like, what the fuck? You put Alabama in and they literally are 10-3 on the season. What the hell? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. So to me, it just looks stupid. Not that I thought Notre Dame was going to go on and win anything. As a matter of fact, I don't really think any of these bottom teams, I think it's going to be definitely one of the top 4 teams that wins the championship, just because I think they're the best teams. And there's really only 3 I would look at and take. But I mean, just overall, it to me, when I looked at the rankings, I was like, as a person who's literally been looking at the rankings every single week, to see Notre Dame left out, it's just very weird. It's very shady. It's very awkward. And then just a couple of the teams that they let in, you're just like, it just looks like they paid you off to get into the college football playoff is what it looks like from the outside looking in. I'm not saying that's what they did, but that's what it looks like from my point of view. Just like, what did y'all do here? It's just stupid. So let's get into the final college football playoff rankings. Now, I won't get into any of the matchups. We'll get into that next week when I make my predictions on the college football playoff, just because that's when it starts is next week. So we're just going to talk about how the rankings ended up. So number 1 ended up being Indiana because they took down Ohio State. So they ended the season 13-0, and they are the number 1 overall seed in the college football playoff. So they have a bye. And then number 2, Ohio State did not fall far. They're 12-1 on the season. They get a bye. Number 3 is Georgia. They're 12-1 on the season. They get a bye. And number 4, Texas Tech, 12-1 on the season. They get a bye. So the teams that will be playing the first weekend of the college football playoff, rounding out the rest of the rankings, number 5, Oregon at 11-1. Number 6, Ole Miss at 11-1. Number 7, Texas A&M at 11-1. Number 8, Oklahoma at 10-2. And then this is where all the weird rankings get, in my opinion, because even though I hate Oklahoma's stupid ass, when we're talking about these 4 below them, they definitely deserve to be above them for sure. But the 4 below them, in my opinion, are all exceptionally questionable. Number 9, like I said, Alabama at 10-3. That's just stupid to me. That is straight up sucking the dick of Alabama and letting them in. That is what that is. There is no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. And you know what? I haven't even been hating on Alabama this year. As a matter of fact, I've been impressed with Alabama and how they've been playing up until that SEC championship game. And now they're the only team with 3 losses, and here they are. And it's like, what is this shit? That is literally only putting them in because you wanted stupid-ass Alabama there. And don't get me wrong, they're a good-ass motherfucking team, but what the fuck? That just was so dumb. So Alabama's in it. Don't agree with it. Then at number 10, we have Miami at 10-2. There's questions about Miami just because they didn't really have that dominating of a season. They started out dominant, and now this whole second half of the season has been meh for them, but hey, they're here, and they're queer, and they're staying. Then at number 11 is Tulane. They're 11-2 on the season, but there was no way they were better than Notre Dame. And then at number 12 is JMU. They're 12-1 on the season. And it's just kind of like, really? So there you have it. That's the college football playoff top 12. Like I said, it's those four, those last four is what I personally have a problem with. I know the last two are really in because we got to let the little tiny schools in, and they did have good seasons, yada, 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 but come on, they're probably going to be one and done first weekend. And then, like I said, Alabama does not deserve to be there. That should be Notre Dame, in my opinion. I know everybody's actually more pissed off about Miami being in there instead of Notre Dame. To me, it's Alabama. They have three losses. Ain't nobody else got three losses on this list that I listed off. And I don't know. That's just sucking the dick of Alabama. That's just all it is. All right, y'all. Enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.